Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So if we need healing tonight, it's here. If we need to get saved tonight, He's here. Whatever our need is, He's here to meet that need.
Yes, He is.
According to His riches and glory. The main theme that I believe is in the Bible, and that I've always stuck by a whole lot, is this. God sent us His pattern in Jesus.
Yes, amen.
And that pattern was the brightness of the glory of the Father and the express image of the Father. And He sent Jesus that we can pattern our life after Him.
Right.
Not after each other, but after Him.
Amen.
And so I have done my best. I, like other people, sometimes I've failed, way back in the past especially, but I'm still trying to reach that goal where I can be more like Him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't want to be like, I don't want to be in Congress. I don't want to be in something like that. I want to be like Jesus. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, to be like Him. And how many knows where the finished product of Him is in the Bible? So let's turn our Bible. We're just going to kind of do it, spread out here and just do a little bit of teach preaching tonight. And I enjoyed the service. They could have went on singing as far as I'm concerned. But I want to turn our Bibles to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And it tells you the finished product that He's expecting because this of us. And verse 23 said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." How many sees a finished product here?
Right.
Well, He says, I pray that the whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. Now, how can this thing be? Now, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Jesus came as spirit, soul, and body. Man was made as spirit, soul, and body. And as always, we got into that three over at Brother Tranter's church this morning. There's three steps backwards, or you can take three steps forward. And the 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 said, "And the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." And there's three steps backwards. They depart from the faith and the giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, we can go backwards just as well as we can go forward. I want you to get this, that God wants us to go. How many wants to go forward?
Amen.
I believe you do. Our brother there, when he was weeping, crying there a while ago, God was talking to him about something. And God should have been talking to you about something, because there was the weeping. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, yes, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So the thing, you know, I like to weep. I love to weep. Sometimes I get to where I can't weep for a little while. That really troubles me.
Yeah, that's right.
That does. I mean, it troubles me because I'm a weeper. And I believe it says, "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed." But I want you to notice that you can go forward just as well as you can go backward. And it says the Spirit in 1 Timothy 4:1, that the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now that means He really speaks directly, expressly, that in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith. That's step number one backwards. Depart from the faith, and the next step is giving heed to seducing spirits, and the next step is doctrines of devils. I don't know about you, but I travel and I preach to all kinds of people. I see a lot of this thing, and people are deceived today a lot and think that they're all right when they're not. If we're not growing up into Him, which is the head, even Christ. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, the perfecting of the saints." That looks like the preachers has got a job, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Perfecting of the saints until we all come in the unity of the faith, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but growing up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God wants us growing up, growing up. He don't want us sitting down. You know, I've seen people today got 2,000 in the church and all they do is sit there. Amen. Come on, can you say amen? I don't know how they get that. I guess everybody's hooked on setting, you know. We need to get up and go out and win some souls. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth soul is wise. Wisdom in the church is winning souls.
Yes. Amen.
Winning souls. So here we're finding here that he said that the very God of peace. So how many sees now that the God's plan was we would go forward? Huh? That we're first, we're born again. Next, we're converted.
Yes.
I'll get into that in a minute.
Yes.
And but we have then next we get control of our flesh.
Yeah.
You know, we got to control this flesh.
It's quiet. Keep preaching.
Huh? That's the holy. Come on. And so here we find he said, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, that your whole spirit, your spirit, and your soul, and your body, somebody said, my body, your body, be found what?
Blameless.
When? At the coming of the Lord. He's looking for us to be blameless. Now, I don't know how far we're going to get with it. I don't. I imagine I'm not there yet, I know, probably, but and you're probably not there, but we're supposed to be working on it. And if we're not working on it, we're not doing what God wants. You know, I like that song the kids sing. I don't know if you sing it up here or not, but he's still working on me. And them little children sing it there, and some of the doves singing back there, he ain't working on me. Come on, but he's still working on me. I've been in this thing 56 years, and I'm still picking up stuff right now that I should have picked up 40 years ago. But I'll tell you what, I'm still just as hungry as I was when I got saved. And they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I'm going to, he will not let you down. Now, man sinned in the garden. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And got caught up in that sin. So God had spoke to him and said, you can eat in any tree in this garden. Now, the main thing is that we obey God's voice. Any tree in this garden, you can eat of it, except that one tree there. The day that you eat of that tree, ye shall surely die.
Right.
Now, God made man in his image. He said, let us make man in our own image. What is the image of God? Father, Word, Holy Ghost. What is the image of man? Spirit, soul, and body. So there's one part there that's going to die the day that you eat of that tree. So they done it. They eat of that tree. And that day, you know what died in them? It wasn't the flesh. It wasn't the soul. Because it still had their mind. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if that's the mind of Christ, that's the one he put in Adam. But they eat of that tree, and their spirit man died. And they continued in sin and were put out of the garden. And there was an angel put at the gate with a flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life. Guess what the way of the tree of life is? Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So here this man is dead now. He's a walking dead man. To be carnally minded is death, Romans 8 and 6, but to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. So the way that we can be more like him is not just look like him, but to be, have his spirit in our spirit man. And the way that he fixed it where we could get there is found in St. John's Gospel, chapter 3. If you want to turn there, let's just turn to St. John, chapter 3. And we'll not take much time with that, but St. John, chapter 3, tells us that we must be what?
Born again.
Born again. We got to be regenerated.
Yes, that's right.
We must, because we're dead.
Yes, sir.
I'm just a dead man walking around there on the street. I didn't realize that. I thought I was having a good time. I wasn't getting close to a good time. But when I was born again, things begin to happen. Amen. He said, you must be born again. Well, what's he talking about? Nicodemus said, well, what do you mean be born again? Can a man enter a second time in his mother's womb be born again? No, that's not the born again. It's our spirit had to be born again and regenerated so man can start all over again.
Yes.
Jesus said in John 3:3, answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. I preach a lot on the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And the kingdom of God is what we seek first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the kingdom of God cometh not, Luke said, cometh not by observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. Romans 14:17 said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. I'll tell you what, if we get so hungry after the Lord as we are after food, I'll tell you, I have a hard time with that food thing. I say, we ain't going to eat much, and here somebody's got a big supper, and I double up on it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to stop this, but I want more of the things of God, and I want to get closer to God. I want to be more like him. So once you're born again, brother guy, the old man passed away, and all things become new. Because we're born again. Now here we are out there, and God spoke to, in the 16th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, where Jesus speaks to his disciples and said, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say that you're John the Baptist, and some say that you're Elias, and some say you're this and that, or some say that you're one of the prophets. But he said, who do you say that I am? Peter spoke up real quick. He was always the fast one. A lot of times he was wrong, but he was the quickest.
He's fast, that's right.
He showed everybody he's quickest.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But boy, when he got straightened out and got what I'm talking about, I mean, he became the preacher of the hour. Can you imagine standing up where you just had a cuss fit a day or two before that, and you backed up again and far and said, I've never seen the man before, and standing up a few days later and say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. You old men will dream dreams. And come on, can you say amen? I mean, he was a preacher, quite a preacher. Went by the gate called Beautiful and said, silver and gold have I none, to the lame man, get such as I have given thee. He jumped up, began to leap around, and went to church with him. And there were 5,000 people gave their heart to God that day. I'll tell you what, that's some of the stuff that we need today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One of Peter's messages is found in Acts 3:19. And you know what he said? Repent ye therefore and be converted.
Right.
That your sins may be blotted out. You know, everybody's looking at everybody else's sin.
Yeah.
They can't see their own.
Yeah.
Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins, Peter preaching to them now, that can you imagine him being the one that preaching this? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come, and he shall send Jesus. Yeah. That's who I'm looking for.
Yeah.
He'll send Jesus at the time of refresh. We need a refresh. I believe we've had a refreshing here in these meetings that we've had here the last few nights. It's a time of refreshing.
Yes.
But these things has to take place and get in order so we're able to receive them.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, Peter kind of rebuked the Lord when he said, I'm going to die on the cross, and begin to tell that. But Jesus said, Peter, Satan has desired he'd have you, that he might sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for it. Boy, that's good when the Lord prays for you. You got something.
Yes,
amen. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted. Now, he had faith because he prayed for him that his faith fail not. But he said, you got to be converted.
Come on now.
You know, you're born again, but you still got to be converted. Be converted. How you be converted? James chapter 1 verse 21 says, receive you the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. In other words, convert you. Your mind, your soul has to be converted. And that's why that the whole spirit, soul, and body can be found blameless at the coming of the Lord. That's why it said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that the whole spirit and soul and body be found blameless at the coming of the Lord. Well, how can these things be? You can turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. What does it say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present
your body.
So you're born again, your spirit man is born again, your soul is converted by the word of God from time to time. You have to go back to that word to get it converted back.
Yes, right.
Your mind gets away from God once in a while, but you don't get away.
Amen.
That your whole spirit, soul, body be found blameless at the coming of the Lord. But here he said, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, what? Not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Huh? That you present your body a living sacrifice, holy. That ends it, don't it?
Yeah.
Acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable. That's just a reasonable service. Now the next verse he's talking about the mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, or you could translate that something else. Your mind could be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many times a week do you renew your mind?
Every day.
How do you renew it every day?
Every day, bro.
That's it. That's it. It's the answer.
Every day.
That you be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
The bringing that mind into, you see, the spirit man, you're born of the spirit, and you transform by the renewing of your mind. And James 1:21 said that receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So it's your mind that has to be renewed.
Yes, sir.
And you see, our mind, which is our soul, is in between our fleshly man and our spirit man.
Uh-huh.
And our soul can relate to the fleshly man, and he can relate to the spiritual man. And so what God wants us to do is get to the place that we can relate to God with our soul and relate to our spirit man. If we can just hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Remember all seven of the churches in the book of Revelation. He gave them a little tannin on their hides a little bit. But he didn't stop there. All seven churches he said this to. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. I counsel you tonight that everybody needs to learn to hear what the Spirit has to say. Not what somebody's got to say, what somebody's got to give out, but what the Spirit has to say to the churches.
Amen.
So our pattern to get to Jesus and to be more like Jesus is to crucify the flesh, to present our body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, as your reasonable service. That gets us cleaned up. And then we have a presentation to the Father, because it's the Father. Remember, the Father and the Word. How many knows it where you receive your Word? In the heart of your mind. So Jesus is the what? The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. So in this here mind here is what relates us to the Lord, the spirit, soul, and body. And if we're born again, then we've got that regenerated spirit, you see, and we're a new man. Old things have passed away, and all things become new, but we're going to have to keep kicking on them old things.
Oh, yeah.
We got to kick the old man around a little bit every now and then, because he's going to get you down some way. And that's ourselves. Somebody said, who's to blame for this? Ourselves?
Yes, sir. Good
preacher. Ourselves. It's me. If I lose out, it's me. It's not you. I can't blame it on you. You can't blame yours on me. It's ours. So the spirit, soul, and body be found blameless at the coming of the Lord. Now, you have to update that every now and then.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Prayer is something that we need in the church to grow.
Yes, sir.
Luke 18:1 said that men ought always to pray and not faint. I think he means you women too.
Yeah.
Right. But he just put it, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Listen to this. Ye brethren, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
how many prays in the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. I'll tell you what, that gets you going.
Yes,
building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes. Ephesians 6:18 said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're supposed to be praying for one another. You ain't got nothing to pray about. Pray about our nation.
Yes.
Pray about our Congress. Pray about all the leaders. Somebody said, pray for them. What else can you do? They're in charge.
Yeah.
We have to pray for them. Amen. So here we find there's three steps forward or three steps backward.
Right.
Huh? And the steps that we can go backward with in this is if we let our flesh rule. Number one. Number two, we'll lose our spiritual mind. And it'll become carnal, and it'll bring death. The third step backward is doctrines of devils, which deals with our spirit man. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I've spent my lifetime in this book here trying to help people grow more. I don't say, well, you've got to be perfect and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. But I'll tell you one thing we do have to do. We have to grow. It says that, I want you to notice that scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all what? Come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. How many sees how we grow?
Yes, sir. That's right.
We grow by a process of elimination. Elimination of the flesh. Elimination of the carnal mind. And change them into spiritual. Somebody said, somebody was shouting around, you know, and somebody said, is that in the Spirit? And, well, not necessarily, but they're feeling what the Spirit's doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe you don't shout in the Spirit, but you feel it. I don't know about you, but when the Spirit begins to move, I feel it.
Yeah.
I can feel it, and I get this. Something goes on around here, and something goes on in here. Something gets going on in here, and my flesh, I had a knee, but I think I got it healed last night. It was kind of bad, but I'll tell you what, hey, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not.
Yes, sir. Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Praise your Lord.
Preach on, Lord.
You want to be like Jesus?
I do.
Amen.
You want to pay the price?
Amen.
Philippians 4 and verse 6. If we have the same mind as Jesus, that's one part of it. And we have to have his mind. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let's go again to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Reading down. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now let's go on. We're getting in his mind. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts. Number one, your hearts. That's where the spirit man is. Your heart. And minds. That's where your soul rests. How many's getting this? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, finally, the final. You know there's a finale in everything.
That's right.
The final. So I look at the first over here in these books, and then I look over in the back side of the book and find out what happened. I found we won everything.
Yeah, that's
we didn't lose nothing. Come on, can you say, man, we're winners. God made you and I to be winners. He didn't make us to be losers. And that song I sing, defeat is one word I don't use. I could tell you the story of that, but it'd take an hour of where I come to the place that I never use the word defeat. I won't even think about using it.
Come on.
Find thee, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. What are you going to think about? The things that's honest, just, pure. Can't you just see all the church people, every conversation they has, it's just like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
Oh.
You know, we've got the crowd that says, have you heard?
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
Somebody said, no, please tell me.
Yeah.
I'll say, well, sit down here. I'll take a whole hour to listen to your garbage, what you want to spill out. But I'm going to listen to you. But I haven't got time to pray. I haven't even got time to go to the midweek service. I haven't got time to get up and go to Sunday school. But they got time to get in the garbage can and dig out stuff like that. We got to get rid of the garbage out of our life. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about we have to get rid of it out of our life. We have to get sanctified in our spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
Cleaned up. Somebody said, I know it's wrong, but I just can't quit it. I hear that all the time. You know, I got things that's wrong, but they can't quit it. I did. I remember the morning I got saved. It was in a place in St. Louis, in an old apartment building. I was working up there. I was pretty bad on alcohol. I just had a bad attitude, and I was kind of mean-natured and everything. But I remember God just kept dealing with me, and people kept talking to me. And I heard about some friends of mine that got saved, and it just got on me. And one morning, I just got down on the floor in that apartment building. And I got gloriously saved. I done what I said I'd never do. I never did believe in emotion in the church, you know. But since there was certainly a whole lot of it going on in that apartment building that morning. I was jumping, I was shouting, I was bawling, I was squalling. You talk about having a good time. I had myself a time. I was cleaned up.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You know what I done? I looked up at the fireplace there, and it had a half a bottle of Jim Beam whiskey there and a few beer cans of beer and some Lucky Strike cigarettes. You know what I done? I put them in the garbage can. I put them in the trash can. And somebody said, well, I just can't quit it. I did.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Everybody, you can do it if you need to and you really want to. You can.
Yes, you can.
God wants us to live a pure, godly life. That we live godly in Christ Jesus. That's what God's wanting. You know, we get to criticizing one another over different little things. You know, this didn't do it that way, and that didn't do it that way. Well, I'll tell you what, this is the way.
That's right.
Now, Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, now, you know, they was wondering where the way was, where the Father's house was and all that. He said, now, I'm the way.
Yes, he did.
I'm the truth.
Yes, he did.
And I'm the life. And he said, no man can get to the Father. No man can come to the Father but by me. You know what? I'm always a hunting. I'm a hunting Father's house. You know, when you get to Father's house, you've really got something.
Yes,
you've got everything. The Father had everything. The prodigal son, he was dabbling around in the hog pen. He was, I guess he wore his robe out and lost his shoes somewhere or other, maybe hocked his ring. But I don't know what he done. But I want to know one thing. When he came home, he was empty. He was empty of everything.
Yes,
but he got filled up right quick.
Oh,
and praise God, the Father said, go get the best robe and put upon him. Go get some shoes and put on his feet. Amen. And go get that ring and put on his finger and kill the fatted calf. My son that was lost is found. My son that was dead is alive.
Glory to God.
And that's what we're hunting is life. Bringing dead people to life. Somebody said, you believe that God raises the dead? He did me. Huh? Ain't that a good example? Was you dead, Brother Gaither? Was you dead, Sister Gaither? You thought you was alive, but you dead.
Yes, sir.
Was you all you dead?
Yes, sir.
Huh? You dead. You dead in sin.
That's right.
He raised us from the dead. That's a better resurrection than the flesh can be breathed into. Come on. He raised us to a new life. And something new in Christ. Something that's got the power in it. Something that you can worship in. And something that you can rejoice. The Spirit. We must have the Spirit. To be like Him, we have His mind. When you get in tune with Him and just get His mind and what He's thinking. Huh? I mean, there's a lot of things happens around here. And you don't know what they are, and I don't know what they are sometimes, but it's visiting angels unawares. Putting the words of the mind of Christ into our mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we got to be born again, we got to be converted, and then we got to be a controller of the Spirit. We got to present that body every day, every week. Present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? They say that some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, some say you're one of the prophets. Who do you say I am? Peter said, I say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood didn't give that to you. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Well, here he is, and he's jumping around, and he forgot all about the keys of the kingdom, you know. He rebuked Jesus because Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified. And he began to tell him, and he rebuked him, and Jesus looked at him and said, now, Peter, Satan's desired to have you, that he can sift you as the wheat, but I've prayed for you.
Come on.
That your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Do we have that quality in all the churches to strengthen our brethren? Or do we weaken him? You know, weak people go to church and they weaken the church. Strong people go to church, they strengthen the church. It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, stand. Having your loins girt about with the truth, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, put on the whole armor of God. And you're a strengthening quality, your brother, your sister, and your children, your husband, your wife, your neighborhood, your school.
Thank you, Lord.
It's all in our hands. Coming up through the years of 56 years in the ministry, you know, you make mistakes. You make maybe critically mistakes, but you kind of get to where you don't renew the mind, and you get where you kind of let the flesh control or something like that. But you have to come into that, and finally you get to the place. You know, if alcohol and drugs are addictive, is that right? I had alcohol. I was addicted. She had drugs. Nobody telling what you had, but they're addicted. Let me tell you, did you ever hear what Paul said? He talked about the house, I believe it was a Stephanus, said they've addicted themselves to the work of the ministry.
Think of it.
Just think, you can get addicted to work for Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm addicted. Amen. I'm a man of addictions. I'll have all my life, but this is the best addiction.
Yes,
and I ain't got the best highs. There ain't no high like it, no time. And it lasts all day sometimes. It lasts all night. I remember them carrying them out of the church house filled with the Holy Ghost, and they didn't come to the next morning. Can you say amen? You know, somebody, you didn't have to look at them and say, do you think you got the Holy Ghost? They know they got the Holy Ghost. And that's where we got to get, not where you think you got it. It's how do you know that you've got it? Boy, with that back then, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell this anyway, but it's a true story. When we was having all those revivals in St. Louis, and I had 633 saved during two and a half years, and there was a woman, had a nice church. It was an old Presbyterian church. We rented it. And I was just green, young in the ministry, didn't know anything. I was full of the Holy Ghost, and really, I was doing everything I could to get to do more for God and everything. There was a woman that went from bar to bar about two blocks down, and she'd come by the church, and she'd go to the next bar down. But she had to come in front of the church.
Yeah.
And when she come in front of the church, she'd hear singing.
Amen.
She'd hear the gospel
being
preached. And she'd stop and listen at it a little while, and then she'd go on to the bar. Her husband was of a denomination that I won't name, and he certainly didn't believe in Pentecost and the Holy Ghost. So he was there, she was, she'd go by the church, and one night she came up to the auditorium, the big church, which seated about 500 people, and she drinking, and she got down to the altar, and she got born again. She got up just as sober as any one of us is right now. But she couldn't hardly walk when she came in. I mean, she was loaded. Huh? That's not the half of it. She said, now I want the Holy Ghost. And everybody began to pray for her to receive the Holy Ghost. One night she got it. She laid there in the floor, laid there in the floor, laid there in the floor, laid there in the floor. Somebody said, well, we'll just take her home. They took her home and opened the door and laid her on the bed. Went off and left her laying there.
Hallelujah.
Her husband come in and he said, what in the world's going on? He couldn't wake her up. He didn't know what was going on. So he took her up to the house where they have mental problems. I forget what they call it. He took her up there. You know, they didn't know what was the matter with her. And that was the next morning now.
Yes, sir.
And they done everything in the world to try to get her out of that. They even put ice packs around on her. Let her lay there a while, just to lay there.
Yes, sir.
Speaking in tongues. I mean, you wouldn't have had to ask her, do you think you got the Holy Ghost? Come on, I'll tell you what, this here, repeat after me. That's not God, that's not it here. We're going to have to get his souse down deep in our heart.
Yes,
but this, let me finish this story. He called the paddy wagon, the police paddy wagon. And he said, something happened to my wife, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if she's sick, ill, or somebody's hurt her some way or other, or something, but I can't get her no response from it. So here they come with the paddy wagon. So they didn't know where to take her, and the hospital didn't know what it was, so they took it over to the bug house. You know what I'm talking about? And they put her in there, and they put ice packs on her. Now, this is true.
I believe it.
It's an honest to God truth. And along in the evening, the next day, she still hadn't responded.
Yes, sir.
And the doctors called some of the people in the church and said, where did she get this? Said, well, we don't know what it is. We can't diagnose it. And where did she get it? And they said, well, she got it down at that church where they're having that revival down there. And she got it down there. And they said she hasn't been accountable for to herself since.
Yeah.
They said, well, maybe you ought to take her back down there. Maybe they know what to do about it.
Yeah. All right, brother.
Come on.
Glory to God.
I'm telling you, her husband divorced her. She got in that old Pentecost church and got contaminated, and he divorced her. Huh? And that woman became one of the strongest saints that I've ever pastored.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, that woman, she was a strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Yes, sir.
Years and years, she went to a church, and she was a part of the backbone of that church. She started right out. Nobody had to tell her to pay her tithes. Nobody had to tell her to pray. Nobody had to tell her you need to go to church. I mean, she was there on time. Years and years went by when I would go back to St. Louis and hold a revival. That woman would be there. And somebody would mention that. You remember when. You know, that's good gossip. That counts. Come on. And then there was a Catholic lady came about the same time, and she's deaf in both ears, and we prayed for her. And he opened both ears up, and she went back down to the Catholic church, and the priest said, I no doubt you've got a miracle, but where did you get this? And she said, I got it down to that revival over there where they're having that revival, that Pentecostal church. He said, I can't deny that you got a miracle, but don't you tell anybody where you got it. She went everywhere telling. She passed the word along, and people just started coming. They know she's deaf. They know, listen, I'm going to tell you, things like this will get things going.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We did this in the church.
Yes, we did.
Preach.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to see people get stronger in the Lord. See, I didn't understand myself at that time just exactly. I was a young minister, but got filled with the Holy Ghost a few months after I got saved. Started out having prayer meetings in my house. People getting saved and wound up with this. And people just getting saved were left and right. And I didn't know anything about it. But I want to tell you one thing. The whole town knew something about it.
Yes, sir.
The whole town, the whole part of South St. Louis, people started coming and packed out that building. I've seen many nights when it was packed out. We'd have a revival, it'd be packed out.
Wow.
Huh? But you see, it takes our whole spirit and our soul and our body. And you can go backwards. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. So depart from the faith first. How do you depart from the faith? How does faith come? Faith cometh by
hearing,
and hearing by the word. That's all right. That's it. That's how. I hope you've got some faith more out of this here tonight. But faith, that's the way it comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So when we stop hearing, or we don't go to churches often to hear it, huh?
Yes, sir.
Then our faith begins to dwindle
yes,
away.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That your faith fail not, but when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. I believe I'm going to quit right here. I don't know what you're going to do.
I just want to say right now, brother, listen, you want to grow? Who wants to grow?
Amen.
Wherever you're at. Where
do you I do.
Come on. Let's come on up to the altar. Come on.
Amen.
We could use these pews up here if someone, one of the musicians want to play or sing a song, but if you want to grow, you need to come on up.
Yes, amen.
Come on.
Growing up in him in all things, which is ahead, even
the altar. Use these pews.
Amen.
Use the altar up here.
Praise the Lord.